I am so excited to get back into week three of this series. I've already begun preaching because I really feel like right now the presence of God is here and he's been touching you already. Some of you know that was not normal and that just felt different. And I believe that my wife and I stood up here earlier, that just as the psalmist said, that the joy of your presence just brings life to me. There's something different about being in the presence of God, and I get it. He's an omnipresent God, but there is something about drawing near to God and feeling the joy of his presence, drawing near and being with us and affirming us. It's kind of like this. I know I'm married all the time. I said I do, and I know I'm married, but there's something about when my wife comes and stands next to me versus just knowing that we continue to be married. There's something about the presence of it. And so always seek the presence of God. I think that was one of the points that amazing preacher last week shared about how to find that thrust and that takeoff in your life. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about we got to prepare the runway of our heart. We've been using the metaphor of an airplane to find our lift. And I believe that we need a lift with God lifting us, but then also we live in a world that is desperate for a lift. There's people all around us, heavy laden, burdened, just feeling the weight of work, feeling the weight, feeling like failures, feeling like screw-ups, feeling like not good enough, not attractive enough, not skinny enough, not skinny enough, right? It's just all kinds of complexities that we deal with, and we need a lift that we can find in God. And so we started 2 weeks ago with preparing the runway of our heart. Make a straight road, clear the wilderness so that you've got a runway so that this plane can take off. Last week, we talked about, I introduced that there are four factors of flight, and we discussed two of them. In fact, let me rehash them now as it sets up where we're going to today. So if you'll throw that airplane up there, there are four factors involved with flight, and when I discovered these, I had to know more. And so we watched a video of myself and Terrence going up in the air last week, but as an airplane cruises, we have now documented that we can get 1,000,000 pounds to fly over our heads in a C-5. And that is fascinating. How can you get 1,000,000 pounds to fly? That's like the million-pound question. And so it begins with thrust. You've got to have some sort of propeller or jetpack or something to make you go forward. We all know this because we all drive vehicles, right? And our vehicles have thrust. It allows our wheels to start spinning and the engine thrusts us forward. But in flight or even in the vehicle, there is an opposing force to thrust. It is called drag. It's the resistance that you meet. If you ever put your hand outside of your car while you're driving and you hold your hand like this, you know what drag is. It immediately pulls your hand back. But when you turn your hand sideways and you just lean back a little bit, all of a sudden your hand effortlessly goes high. And if you turn it down a little bit, it effortlessly goes low. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because the third factor is lift. If you want to get off the ground, you have got to find your lift. And when you find your lift, then all of a sudden that vessel, even if it's 1,000,000 pound heavy vessel, that vessel is going to begin to rise up and lift up off of the tarmac, but is going to also have an opposing force, and it's called weight. And so last week, if you didn't hear that message, I believe it was a good one. Go on our YouTube channel and check it out. Share it with your friends, or we have an audio podcast you can listen to. But this week, I want to preach a message called Takeoff. And then you are not going to want to miss next week, because now we're going to talk about, now that this plane's flying, where are we going? And so my wife is going to join me on stage, and some of our different team leaders are going to join us on stage. And I'm going to share a little bit of vision, a little bit of celebration, where we've been on a one-year anniversary, a little bit of vision of where we're going, and also have some of our team leaders get you excited about some of the various ways that we are taking off all throughout this city and surrounding community. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So let's lift off right now. There, liftoff is a concept that many people have struggled with. If you don't have any lift, you are not taking off. You are grounded no matter how fast you're going. And so many times, have you ever asked somebody, how far away am I going to the destination? And they give you one of these dumb answers like 33 miles as the crow flies. And it's just like, as the crow flies? What kind of junk is that? I'm not a crow. I don't have, you know, an airplane to do that thing. So why don't you tell me how many road miles it is? They're like, oh, it's going to take 48 miles. It's just like, I wish I was a crow. Yeah, or not. Anyway, and so I should have picked a better. I wish I was an eagle. Okay, that's better. Because we know that a liftoff can get you places quicker and further. And I believe God wants to provide a lift in every one of our lives. And so we've got to find liftoff. But some people have struggled to find it. What's it look like? Metaphorically, it looks a little something like this. Go ahead and show that video. Oh, no, not that one.
Even
no,
you.
Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Thank you. Now, this brother right here, he's struggling with his liftoff. He thought he had it, but he's about to plummet. Know any friends who've had that to go on in their life? You got a lot of thrust. You got no takeoff. I could watch these all day. This guy's wife and daughters are just laughing in the boat the whole time.
One, two, three, let's walk forward. Keep walking.
It's at this point that his face tells the story of his concern.
Righteous! Whoa.
And now it's at this point that he realizes lift is hard to achieve.
Come on, come on. No. Didn't jump. I ran.
You didn't jump. I ran. Oh, yeah. Wait, we got plenty of thrust. Right now, we need some liftoff. And so we know people, even ourselves, have felt like sometimes this has been my spiritual walk. Like, woo, liftoff, falling back down and hitting the water. And then, woo, liftoff, and then falling back down. And then the turn of a year, this is going to be my year. Woo, liftoff. And you go for a little bit or join a small group, and then it feels like it falls apart again. And life has this weight to it that tries to keep us grounded. And that's what we're exploring all throughout this series. We've been using a key scripture. And instead of repeating that scripture again, I thought I would let some actors remind you of that scripture, because I feel like it would stick in your head a little better. So go ahead and show that scripture that we've been standing on.
Even youths grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength.
See, amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen, right?
That's right, right? Yeah,
yeah. They will soar on wings like eagles. Like eagles, y'all. They will walk and not grow fat.
I think our poor white guy, he's giving it. He's giving it his best. But I'm telling you, that is a hard to forget scripture. And that's Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it basically says this, that they will be lifted up as if they had eagle's wings when they wait upon the Lord. And so I want to start off with a parable it's actually a fable that I came across that I think will get us started as we talk about lift and wait today. Listen to this as I read. It's a fable called The Devil and the Skylark. Put that cute little skylark up there. It'll get us in the mood, right? And maybe I should have had some cute music sound bed in the back. One day long ago, over the hot sands of a Middle Eastern country, a white skylark flew in joyous loops about the sky. As she swooped near the earth, she heard a merchant cry out, "Worms, worms, worms for feathers, delicious worms." The skylark circled about the merchant, hungry at the mention of worms, but puzzled about what the merchant meant. Little did the skylark know that the merchant was the devil, and seeing that the skylark was interested, the devil motioned nearer. "Come here, my little friend. Come, see the lovely worms I have." Cautiously, the skylark landed and cocked her head to the merchant. Come, taste the juicy worms. The skylark became aware that she was indeed quite hungry, and these worms looked bigger and tastier than any she had ever dug for herself out of the hard scrabble ground of the desert. The skylark hopped closer and put her beak up close to the worm. Two worms for a feather, my friend. Two worms for merely one. Well, the skylark was unable to resist, and she had, after all, had so many feathers. And so with a swift motion, she pulled out a feather, just a small one, from beneath her wing and gave it to the merchant. Take your pick, my little friend, any two, your heart's desire. The skylark quickly snatched up two of the plumpest worms and swallowed her meal with delight. Never before had she tasted such wonderful worms. With a loud chirp, she leapt into the air and resumed her joyous flight. Day after day, the skylark returned, and always the merchant had wonderful worms to offer. Black ones and blue ones, red ones and green ones, all fat and shiny and iridescent. But one day, after eating her fill, the skylark leapt again into the air, and to her horror, she fell to the ground with a thud. She was unable to fly. All at once, with a shock, she realized what had happened. From eating the delicious worms, she had grown fatter and fatter, and she had plucked her feathers one by one, first her body, then her tail, and finally her wings had grown balder and balder. Horrified, she remembered how slowly, imperceptibly, day by day, it had been getting harder and harder to fly, and how she had told herself it was no matter. She could always stop before it was too late. Now suddenly, here she was, trapped on the ground. She looked up and saw the merchant looking at her. Was that a small, sly grin spreading across his face? He grabbed the now helpless bird, put her in a cage, and walked away laughing. I think the point is very clear. That the merchant or the devil in this fable is simultaneously working two angles. That is, increasing weight while decreasing lift. If he can work on both of them at the same time, all of a sudden the skylark is grounded, and what you used to be able to do, you are no longer able to take flight and do. And so let's break this down. The first element is weight. And if there is too much weight, the plane will not fly. In fact, the little plane we were in last week, the pilot, I asked him, I said, is there room for three or four adults? And he said this, there's room for three. And so I had to ask him whenever we got into the air, I said, how come there was only room for three? He said, well, sometimes there's room for four, but if you asked for four, I would have had to ask every person's weight, and I would have needed to calculate it so that I can find out if we don't have too much weight for liftoff. Because if weight exceeds lift, we aren't getting off the tarmac. We are not flying. And so he would have actually calculated. Any good pilot is going to calculate, am I carrying too much weight from the destination that I have in mind? And see, we've got to look around. Sometimes we've heard those pilots come on and they say, we have too much weight. If anyone would voluntarily leave their bags at the roadside, we will make sure it shows up at your destination shortly. And everyone says, yeah, right. I'm not volunteering for that. Some poor sap is going to have to volunteer for that one, right? I just sit in the bag and I'm like, mine's not that heavy. You know, they're staying right by me. Sir, could we check your bag? No, you may not. My bag's in there. And they're like, it's bulging out of the side. It's not bulging. I can close it. You want me to close that thing? I'll show you how to close that thing. I will smush somebody else's bag because you're not leaving mine on the side. I don't want to have too much weight. I just want you to drop their weight, not mine. Like my baggage is going with me. And don't we all have some baggage? Now, some seasons in life, we can't avoid the baggage. And so we deal with it. But other times we can. See, NASA says that flying encompasses two major problems, overcoming the weight of an object and controlling an object in flight, and both of these problems are related to an object's weight. We got to ask ourselves the question, are we carrying unneeded weight in life that might be hindering our progress and our flight, that God wants to take us somewhere, but I can't release this weight over here or this weight over there? You know what kinds of situations I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit will begin to prompt it. What I love is in our Isaiah 40, in verse 12, God is talking about himself and he says this, "Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale?" What I love about this is God is saying, I understand the weight of everything in life. I get it, and I know how much lift is needed to overcome it. You are not dropping anything new on me. I know the weight you're carrying in life, and I know the weight needed for takeoff. And so I love that the scripture even says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we were, and yet without sin. He was tempted to carry weight too. He was tempted to pour on baggage too, but he also knew that to achieve what God has called me to do, I can't take on that kind of weight. I've got other weight that I do have to carry on, and that was for forgiving souls, setting souls free. And so that was a weight that wasn't coming off, but I'm not putting off on the weight of this temptation, because it'll keep me grounded from flying. See, some of the weight is out of our control. Maybe you were abandoned and you were a child of your parents and they divorced and there was a weight of abandonment. There was abuse, overlooked. Maybe you're going through heavy seasons. We all go through work seasons that are heavier or school seasons that are heavier. And those are weights that are not necessarily in our control. But what we have discovered is that the older we get, that most of our weights are within our control. Like poor choices, erratic decisions, debt, doubt, unforgiveness. These are choices that we have to make that we can decide, am I going to, as scripture says in Hebrews 12, am I going to strip off every weight that entangles me, that keeps me grounded, that keeps me from going places that God has destined for me? Will I strip off? The scripture says this, let us, somebody say us, let us strip off every weight that slows us down and keeps us grounded. See, some of us need to become stewardess of our own plane. We need to get on our own microphone and say, Drew, are there any sort of weights that we can leave roadside? We're not going to take this one on the travel. We are ready for takeoff and we will stay grounded until someone volunteers to unpack some weight on this plane. Otherwise, we will sit still and we will stay grounded. There's nothing wrong with the engines. Our propellers are just fine. Thrust is ready to go. We are just waiting on you to release some of the baggage that you think you need on this travel, and it's time to let it go. Leave it here in this destination because we are about to fly, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle your seats, get ready for takeoff. You got to get rid of some weights first. See, Hebrews 12:1 tells us that to peel it off layer by layer. How? Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and loaded down, and I will give you rest." In other words, how do I unpack the weight? The best way, I gave it away last week, is to lean back into him. The best way to be a lifter is to be a leaner on the everlasting arms. I think I need this for the journey. I've been holding on to it for way too long, but somehow I trust if I take this bag off the plane and leave it here, that if I'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he can take care of everything that I've packed up in this bag too. I'm just going to go ahead and trust that if I remove this bag from my life, that I'm going to receive takeoff. And God is going to be with me. That's not practical enough for you? Let me make it even more practical. Try these leans into him. A great way to remove that weight of bondage is to join a freedom small group next week on sign up small groups. It is a great way to unpack some bondage. A great way to remove that weight of debt, join the Financial Peace small group that is launching next week. And they're going to help you get your money right so that you can take off and do everything that God has called you to do with your finances. finances. You want a great way to remove that weight of ineffective prayer, always feeling like nothing changes when I pray? Then join the prayer small group that happened last semester and is happening again this coming semester, where they go out throughout the city and they begin to pray and they're seeing things happen. Come on. I was praying this past week in 21 days of prayer. I just sent a simple text to the administrator of Glen Avenue Elementary, and I said, I'm praying for you today. Lift Church is lifting you up today. She sent me a text, an email back saying, thank you so much. 4 hours later, I get a text back and she said, heaven just opened up. We had another business just call us up out of the blue and said, we're sending you 100 meals. We had another institution call us up today and said, we're sending you 50 more. And so because of your prayers, we're seeing 177 kids go home with food to sustain them throughout the weekend. That is what prayer can do. Some of us need to learn how to pray. And then listen, I sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this is going to do anything. But I was moved when I heard of the takeoff. And so join that small group. A great way to remove the weight of weight, you could join a basketball or soccer small group, right? We got guys who go run and play basketball. We even got a small group of soccer players. I'm on it. I'm out of shape. I run for 3 minutes and go. But I did have a few assists. I'm throwing that out there, okay? I'm abusing the stage to say I had one or two assists on the first game, but we scored like eight. So, you know, it was nothing. All the ladies on our team, our lady lifters, are scoring all the goals. It's crazy. Anyway, a great way to remove the weight of no godly connections is just to join any small group. You know, sometimes you just say, I feel alone and I don't have really great connections that are faith connections. Just join a small group. Next week is Small Group Sunday. And because I believe small groups can help you lead into Him as you strip off the sin. That's good, and I'm going to say it again. I believe small groups can help you lean into Him as you strip off the sin. We got to walk into small groups. I'm the only one who likes that. Amen. So you got weight, but you also got lift. Lift is the force, according to NASA, that it overcomes weight. An airplane generates an opposing force called lift. And I love that poem that I read read throughout. I read it on week one, and it was on the video. And here's what Ellen Willa Wilcox says. Oddly enough, you will find too, I ween, there's only one lifter to 20 who lean. And don't you find that there are so many leaners in this world, so many burdened down people? I don't think they want to be leaners. And sometimes we go through seasons of that. But there are such chronic leaners where when they walk in the room, you're just like, I'm walking out of the room. Where's the closest exit? You know? And they say, holiday's coming up. And you're like, family's coming over. And you go, which family is coming over? You know what I'm talking about. And you start feeling the weight. And I think we need more lifters. I think we need more lifters out there. In fact, let me highlight one lifter in our midst. Where you at, Danielle Jackson? You in this place? Where you at, Danielle? Where you at, Danielle? Are you in this place? You back there? Come on, Daniel Jackson. You stand up. You are looking at Pocomoke Elementary's Teacher of the Year. Come on. Talk about a lifter. Talk about a lifter. You rock. You keep lifting up those students and using your gift. I love it. I love it. So here, as I finish up, here's three ways to lift above the fray. Three ways to lift above the fray. Number one is this. It's all centered around an idea of just leaning back into God. See, the lift comes when you just lean back. Number one, prayer. I want to give you another testimony. Lauren Fisher sitting right here. She's a college-age student. Did you just finish college? Are you done? Are you in your last semester? Done in May. Lauren Fisher's a senior at SU, and she sent my wife and I this text that I asked her if I could read. She said, go for it. She said, I just wanted to share a cool testimony about what God did this week already through prayer and fasting. I've been praying for my family unity and that my parents would be willing to have an open and vulnerable conversations with me. My mom FaceTimed me the other day crying and said she wants to have more open and honest conversations. We had really healthy communication that day. I've been praying for this for a while, but I believe through fasting, something supernatural was unlocked. Praise God. Thanks for calling a fast. This is awesome. Come on. Things happen when you just lean back on the wings like wings of eagles, and you just let him be the wind beneath our wings, right? Come on, Bette Miller got it wrong when she was singing about some loved one. You are the wind beneath my wings. And sometimes I remind my wife that I am the wind beneath her wings, but I am saying that facetiously because I need Jesus to keep being the wind beneath my wife's wings. I'll just sing that when I'm being stupid, and she'll tell me, you're stupid. And we'll have conversations about that. Did you just call me stupid? Because I am the wind. Okay, anyway, I've got problems. Pray for me. Pray for me. Are you in a storm? Are you in a storm? The question is, why not fly a little higher and get above the storm? You ever been on that plane before?
We're experiencing a little bit of turbulence right here. We're going to change our altitude, and we're going to take this up 10,000 square feet. Square feet? I don't think it's square feet, but that's the way I hear it in my own ears, and I'm just like...
Could you just do what you do and let me do what I'm doing? I'm not back here. I'm not trying to approach the pilot and go,
I'm going to turn on Netflix right now for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to be watching a movie. And so I've got my headphones and they're sound canceling.
I'm not telling you what I'm doing. But the pilot gets on there and they say, we're going to experience a little turbulence. So we're going to ascend. Get above this thing. See, that's what prayer and fasting can do. Is I'm in a storm. I've got some situations. I got some heaviness, some weight, some setbacks. So I'm just going to lean back a little. And all of a sudden, you just begin to ascend. And you go a little bit higher. See, the greatest part about flight, I noticed this. When we were on the runway, Terrence was out of the plane. And the big air hangar where the planes got stored, they were huge. They were huge on the ground, and Terrence was about my size. But the moment we took off and found a little bit of lift, that air hangar became the size of an ant, and Terrence became the size of a speck. Sometimes our situations are huge, and all you need is a little bit of lift to get a little bit of perspective that our God is above it all. And this is not as big as it looks, because if I could just get a little bit of elevation in my life, I can look down and see my God's got this thing. This is no big thing. My God is the God who tells storms to be quiet. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, without faith, it's impossible to find the lift you're looking for. So what do I do with this? How do I do this? Join us for the last 7 days of prayer and fasting. If you have not been praying and fasting with us, it's okay. I say jump in. God has moved in 7 days, and he'll move in your life too. In fact, I forgot to say this. On Tuesday and Thursday, our annex is open from 6 to 7. We got about 10 of us who get together and pray. I love that this past week a few more joined us. Maybe you have felt like I should have been there, and I just want to encourage you, come out. 6 to 7, you can pray with us on Tuesday and Thursday. Number two, the second way to fly above the fray is the favor of God. Never underestimate the favor of God. Esther is a woman who considered herself insignificant in many ways. I'm just a fringe nobody. And in the culture that she lived in, females were not of the same equality with males. So not only was she just a commoner and a nobody, she was a female commoner and nobody. She felt so insignificant. And yet what God did was in one fell swoop, He elevated her from nothing to an incredibly powerful position. And it says in Esther 2:17, now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor. She won his favor and approval more than any of the others. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. In a sudden change of events too radical to ever have dreamed of, Esther was elevated into the highest position a female could hold. Who doesn't want the favor of the Lord in their lives? It was because she was a Jewish girl. She had the favor of God on her life. And literally, someone was removed from that position, and because the hand of God was on her life, she was thrust into a different position all of a sudden. You know, a lot of times when we're putting our girls to bed, I think I'm going over, but I'm taking it. Sometimes when we're putting our little two girls to bed, they say this, Daddy, can we play airplane? Can you airplane me to bed? And I'm saying, sure, how much effort do my little girls have to do to play airplane? All they have to do is lean into daddy. Because you know what? I do all the lifting. I pick them up and I do all the lifting and I fly them all over the place, and this is about all they do. This is about all they do. And by the time they hit that bed, their smiles are huge. And it's all because daddy does the lifting. Sometimes we try to do all the lifting on our own, and our daddy is just saying, with the favor of God, I'd lift you up above all these situations. You'll end up in positions and in places where you just kind of smile, like my girl's hitting the bed, like, how in the heck did I end up here? People, I've gotten opportunities before, and I was just like, I'm just the guy who asks God for his favor every single day. And so I think you should ask God for his favor every day. How do you do this? You pray the prayer of Jabez over your life. If you got one of our prayer guides right here, get one if you don't have one on your way out. One of the things I love is the prayer of Jabez on page 38. Try praying this prayer over your life. Oh God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Just open this prayer guide and pray through the prayer of Jabez. It's a great way to just ask for the favor of God in your life. And finally, this is simple obedience. Simple obedience is like wings that says, yes, I will obey. That's why I love raising my hands in worship, because it's like almost like wings, where I just say, it's not on me for elevation. It's on you. And I'm just going to lean back. I remind God before I preach every single time. He called me to this. This was not the track I was on when I went to Louisiana State University. And then God called me in my senior year and he said, you're going to preach the gospel. I said, I didn't do great in speech class. Did you miss that, God? Did you miss that? Because I did really good at other classes. And God said, that's right. You're going to have to lean back and trust me. You're just going to have to obey me. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I just continue. Before I preach, I often disappear behind that ramp right there. And I get down on my knees and I tell God this. This was your idea, not mine. If this goes great, it's on you. If this sucks, it's on you. But I surrender. So my wings are out. Holy Spirit, you be my thrust. You put the wind underneath my wings and you take off. And so this is on him. And see, some of you need to just start walking into your workplace and your marriage and your kids' bedrooms. And you just start saying, this is on God and I'm going to try it God's way. I'm just going to simply obey. I'll finish with this. John 4, Jesus said this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I don't need anything else. I find my sustenance in just him. Pastor JT, we ordained him about 3-4 months ago, and I asked him to share a little bit about his story. And when he got up there, he said, many people have asked how I've gotten this far, and he said, I can only say this, simple obedience. I just read the scripture and follow it. I trust my leaders who are walking me through scripture, and I follow it. And God has taken me from elevation to elevation, from promotion to promotion. I don't belong here. It's just simple obedience. See, when you want to go to different heights, just lean back into the word of God. Even when culture says, that's outdated, that's stupid, that's old-fashioned, you just say, seems to have worked for the last 2,000 years. I don't know what you've discovered in the last 20, but it's worked for 2,000 now. I'm just going to obey. So I just want to pray as we close. There's a simple formula to flight, and it is this. If lift and thrust is greater than drag and weight, you will soar every single time. It's a very simple equation. And so my prayer right now, if you'll receive it, just open your palms to heaven or even lift up your hands right now. And Father, I pray over all your...